We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Legend.
Ice Cube, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, yeah. What's happening with y'all?
Welcome. How you feeling first?
I feel good as a government check.
Sixth season of the Big Three.
Yep. Sixth season.
Congratulations.
Thank you, man. We had a great time last night in Brooklyn, the Barclays. A lot of OGs came out, Melly Mel and Grandmaster Flash, KRS-One, Eric B., Chuck Chill Out.
That's dope.
You know, it was dope.
I seen Ja Rule before.
Ja Rule got down, Scarlett. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it was a lot of love celebrating the 50th anniversary of hip hop. Nice crowd, you know, about 9,000 people. So, you know, it was pretty amazing.
What did the 50th anniversary of hip hop mean to Ice Cube?
Man, it means that, you know, we've come a long way. I remember the first, you know, year hip hop or, you know, really rap. Now, hip-hop is bigger than just rap, but I remember, you know, rap particularly was, you know, the first year it came out, everybody was saying it was a fad, you know, it wouldn't last, and 49 years later, it's the biggest music in the world, so absolutely. It's a proud, proud moment.
You know, it's similar to the Big Three. When you started with the Big Three, everybody thought it was going to be a fad, and you're 6 years later. So let's talk about that, because you know, we kind of seen the inception of the Big Three. How has it been since then? Is it difficult to get play? Talk about some of the difficulties in
having
your own league.
First, I appreciate you guys always supporting. You know, from year one, before y'all even knew what it was, you guys were supporting the league, having us on and talk about it. And you know, we put 15,000 people in the Barclays year one when we had Allen Iverson. And so, you know, other than, you know, really not getting much exposure from mainstream sports media, you know, that's really the problem. And also, you know, there's things that's happening behind the scenes when it comes to sponsors and networks and partners, to partner with the Big Three. We think we're running to a lot of interference from the NBA, a lot of deals, you know, make it to the 11th hour and then get shut down, you know. And so it's frustrating. Mm-hmm. It's something that we were, like, suffering in silence because we wanted to work it out with the NBA. You know, we wanted to figure out, you know, what more could we do to show that we're not competition. Now, the whole problem is there's a bylaw in the NBA contracts when you're an owner saying you cannot invest in a competing league.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're labeling the Big Three as a competing league.
Mm-hmm. That's good, though, right?
Hell no.
No. I mean, for y'all, right?
No, it's not good. Okay. It's not good because
people can't invest.
We're not competing. Mm-hmm. You know, they make billions every year. You know, we're still trying to, you know, get the league into profitability. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Excuse me if I can't pronounce that. I'm with the LA Unified School District. So we're still trying to get there, and we're this close, you know, sponsor two away. But at the end of the day, we're not competing. We play in the summer. If they work with us, we would avoid all the games that they have, you know, far as WNBA or yeah. Summer League, but mm-hmm. they not working with us, so we can't coordinate schedules. So we, you know, we've tried to do everything to show that we're not competing. We don't take players under 22, so we're not going after, you know, your one and dones, your guys that need to really be in the NBA or going to the NBA. And, you know, we try not to interfere with the NBA's schedule in any kind of way. So we're an alternative summer sport that you know, people that like hoops, you know, want to see more basketball. That's what we provide. They're playing 5-on-5. We're playing 3-on-3. Mm-hmm. It's apples and oranges. It's a totally different game when you really break it down.
It would make sense to me for the NBA to do like a strategic partnership with y'all.
It makes sense to me too, yeah. Man. And, you know, that's what we've been trying to do. I think what it is really, at the end of the day, you know, everybody can put race on it. But I think it's the fact that we changed the game mm-hmm. without asking their permission.
Right.
And I don't think they like it. Mm-hmm. I'm just speculating. You would have to ask Adam Silver, Mark Tatum. But we changed the game. But we do what's best for our game to make 3-on-3 exciting. You know what I'm saying? We got the 4-point shots. We got a bring the fire rule, 1-shot free throws. All these things speed up the game, make it faster, make it funner to watch and play. So, you know, we're changing the game just to make it better for our sport. We're not, you know, trying to push the NBA, even though they do follow some of our leads. You know, we were the first to recognize mental health and to recognize that, you know, players shouldn't be shunned because they might have an issue. You know, let's try to work through it. Let's try to help them through it. And we embrace players, and they had to do it. You know, if you remember, they've you know, shunned a lot of players because they didn't want to deal with them mentally. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we pushed them in that. We was the first league to allow CBD use, which got players off of opioids. Mm-hmm. They had to follow that. So it's, you know, we're changing the game and trying to make it better. And I'm pretty sure they don't like that. But, you know, we don't care. You know, they don't own basketball. Like, I say this over and over. I don't hear kids saying, "Mama, I want to go outside and play NBA, you know?
Right.
They go and say, "I want to go out and play basketball." Yeah. So basketball's for everybody and anybody. And so we just want to say we're not a competing league. If they would not put us in that category. Now, they don't do that to TBT, which is the basketball tournament. Mm-hmm. They don't do that to Slam Ball, which is coming back. Mm-hmm. NBA owners can own a pickleball league. They can own an NFL team. They can own a baseball team. They can own anything they want except the big three. Mm. You know, so we're the, you know, one of the only leagues that are so-called competing, and we're not. So we want them to drop the clause.
I was going
to
ask you that. I know last time you were up here, you were saying that you didn't sell the franchises as of yet. Are you starting to sell the franchises yet?
Yeah, we're starting to sell teams.
Who owns teams, if anybody, so far?
Well, right now we're talking to a few different people and groups about buying teams, and we want to put them in cities. So, you know, you'd have, you know, for lack of a better word, you know, New York Trilogy, you know, Baltimore Ball Hogs, whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's our next phase. That to me is how we grow the league. We've calibrated it to the point. You got to remember, we were inventing a sport at the same time as we were playing the sport. So we had to calibrate it over the years and make sure that the rules work. There was ways to come back from large deficits. We made wrinkles that made the game interesting and fun. Mm-hmm. And so we believe that the game is in a good place, and now it's time to sell the teams to owners who have their own vision for their 3-on-3 team.
And how do the players work? So, you know, two questions, actually. One, do the players reach out to you guys, or do you reach out to the players? And then how do you decide what player goes to which team? Because I've been to a couple of games. Of course, I went to when Allen Iverson played and a couple others. But how do you decide? Like, so, let's, you know, player that just retired or doesn't want to play in the NBA, wants to play in your league, how do y'all decide what team he goes to? And
well, you know, we look at, first of all, players contact us. And, we, of course, we go after players who we think would be great for the league. We usually, you know, have a player captain spot or co-captain spot. And if we only have co-captain spots, we'll try to pair this player up with the captain, because the captain chooses who's on their team. So, you know, people want guys that they know can play. So it's usually not hard to find a place for, you know, a new player that's coming in. But how it works, the player captain, the captain of the team, gets to pick who he wants to play with. So he picks two co-captains. So, you know, guys know how guys play, and it's like, yo, if I play with him, I can win. And then they draft two more players. So we have a draft pool, have a, you know, lottery. Mm-hmm. So you pick first, second, third, whatever. And then they pick the players they want. And those players play, and then, and if anybody get hurt, you just return back to the draft pool, and they pick another player from the draft pool until the injured player comes back. So there's always a pool of players waiting to get called up to play in the big three.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Now, and I heard you on Joe Rogan, and you said the NBA is encouraging people to not sponsor the big three and encouraging networks to not play the big three. Isn't that a lawsuit if you can prove it?
It is, you know, it's antitrust that they're participating in. Mm-hmm. You know, when you, you know, try to keep a monopoly running by you know, going behind the scenes and scaring either companies that you work with, or companies that want to work with you, yeah, they are, you know, very close to, if they haven't already crossed the line with that. And I think it should be looked into what they're doing to the big three, because, you know, they've scared off some big companies who deal in basketball. Now, you got to understand the basketball pool of companies that use basketball to promote is not big. You know, it's a small pool of companies. So it's not like, you know, even networks. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think about all the networks that play basketball, there's ABC, ESPN. There's TNT. Mm-hmm. And right now, CBS. Mm-hmm. You got any more?
No, I mean locals, like, you know, like
here. Okay,
like,
so yeah. So them the major networks. Mm-hmm. So you start running out of people to go to.
Yeah, no real
estate. If they're blocking. Now we got our games, half of our games on CBS, but we got a whole nother half of games right now on Big3.com. We on Masson, if you got that, at Mid-Atlantic Sports Network. But, you know, we should be on another network with the second half of our games. And we've known that they've squashed one deal. And so, you know, same thing with a few other major companies that deal in basketball. So we just got to get them to stop that part.
How do they do that? Like, how do they squash a deal? Like, what do they say to these networks?
I don't know what they say. I ain't in the room, but I know we're usually close to the finish line with a deal, and then there's a call or a conversation about we need to work somehow with the NBA or we're not going to have to do this deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's happened several times. And, you know, it's just starting to get to a point where something's got to give, you know. So we're going to keep pushing. You know, it might be something the DOJ might want to look into because it's not right what they're doing.
Now, calling them out, has it made it worse or is it just the same? As you see, you know, more backlash from it?
It's hard to calibrate. You know, hate is hate. So I don't know if it's more hate or less. Mm-hmm. That part really don't matter to me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, at a certain point, you got to go on the offensive no matter what the consequences are. You can't just sit back and take it
right.
and not try to defend yourself and fight for your rights. So I don't really care what they're doing behind the scenes because they haven't been able to kill us. We're still alive.
Right.
Had 9,000 people on a Sunday afternoon that sat for 6 hours to watch Big Three basketball, and they had a party. You know, we had KRS-One performing and Ja Rule, and, you know, and it was a great time. MOP came through and performed, Scarlett, and salute to those folks and all the OGs that came that right. made the celebration great.
I wonder what the NBA wants from the Big Three. Like what would – what's their ultimate goal? They just want y'all – they want to shut y'all down?
Probably so. They would be happy.
When we say the NBA, isn't the NBA a collective of owners? So it's a collective of owners that's
– No, because the owners – some owners want to invest in the Big Three. Mm-hmm. We've heard from them. They're not allowed to. Mm-hmm. So I say it's the top brass because the players like us. They love us, of course, because we're providing opportunities for their heroes and could be opportunity for them in the future.
Of course.
So coaches like us. GMs mm-hmm. have been to our games. Scouts. Owners.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody you can name. And so it's the top brass. It's the only ones because Adam could say – Big Three is exempt from this bylaw because they're not a competing league. Now, it's not just the NBA owners that get tainted.
Mm-hmm.
It's anybody with money that has a dream to own an NBA team. So if I dream to own the Nuggets one day,
mm-hmm.
I can't invest in the Big Three because
you're gonna shun me.
It squashes my dream right there. You don't wake up saying – I want to own a Big Three team. Not yet. You right. will give me, you know, 10 years.
Have you had a conversation with Adam at all?
Several. I've had.
How's the conversations went?
Well, I haven't had a conversation since we launched the league.
But he was aware that you were launching the league.
We went to him. Mm-hmm. We actually offered the NBA 10% of the league for free because, you know, we're using a lot of their former players.
Yeah.
We wanted some kind of working relationship. So they didn't want it. And we just told them we was going to do it anyway and that they wasn't going to stop us because we kind of know how they operate, you know.
I would think they would want
from previous encounters.
After six seasons, y'all showing success. I can even see during All-Star weekend having a big three, you know, with the OG players versus the OG players. Like, all of that makes perfect sense to me. Like,
I agree.
Me too. What they should be worried about, to be honest, instead of the big three, is there's some foreign investors talking about starting the ABA again. Now, that's true competition because that's five-on-five professional basketball, and these dudes can pay. They can pay big money, bigger money than the NBA. So they should stop worrying about the big three and doing what they're doing to us. They should work with us so they can have a bigger footprint in basketball. And then they should worry about this ABA that's coming.
I was going to ask, what do you think about these contracts that the NBA is giving out, right? They're giving out huge contracts. Like, these numbers don't even make sense to me. But and how does that affect you? Like, do players say, look, I need a little more money because I'm seeing what these guys are getting over here? Like,
they know, you know, we're not the NBA. And if they could get that money, they would. And they're welcome to it. Like, we don't – anybody that's called up to the NBA from the big three, we let them go. From, you know, our players, sometimes they become coaches in the NBA. We let them go because, of course, that's the dream of any basketball player is to be in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So we don't stop anything.
How many players
were
called up from the big three?
We've had about – I mean, I can't name them all, but we've had over 10 players called up to either the G League or actually got 10-day contracts in the, you know, in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they watch us. They obviously pick our players, and we don't stop that.
I love this tour you've been on too, man, because it feels like this is authentic Ice Cube, right? And it's like, I mean, you've always been authentic, but it feels like, you know, I'm railing against the machine. So I was going to ask, who out of the gatekeepers are the gatekeepers worse in sports, Hollywood, or the music?
Yeah,
I think they all around. You know, I don't think it's worse than any other, you know, I guess, profession. You know, I think there's, you know, people that try to make sure you stay in your lane. Mm-hmm. And if you look like you're getting out of your lane, you know, sometimes they'll watch you. Sometimes they'll put guardrails up. And sometimes they'll actually put a gate up and make sure you go no further. So, you know, that's what we have happening here. And this is just my testimony. But we all got them. And we all got to figure out who they are. We don't have to let them know we know who they are. Mm-hmm. We just got to figure out how to get around that gate. You know, I used to hop fences when I was young all the time. A fence or a gate never stopped me from going where I wanted to go.
Which one is more difficult for you? Because you've seen them when you first started NWA. When you first started in the entertainment industry doing films, and now you see them now. Which one is the most difficult?
None of them. They all easy. You just got to go at them. You can't go, you know, you can't try to nice guy it all the time, you know. All of them fold like a chair. And this one will too.
I saw you on Bill Maher, and you were talking about the record industry, and you said that the record industry uses social engineering in rap to encourage criminal behavior. At what point did you realize that?
Oh, man, you know, after I got mature in the game, after I knew that, you know, records were made by committee. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of albums, a lot of dope songs people like are made by a group of people telling rappers what to say or what's dope or that line ain't good enough or, you know, let's change it to this. Get somebody up here that can write and all this kind of hip-hop by committee. And, yeah, the record companies, it'd be they people in there. You know, I've never had an A&R. I've never had a record company guy tell me shit about my music, about how to make it. You know, some of it they liked, some of it they didn't, some of it they raised their eyebrow to, but that's what I turned in, that's what they had to accept. And, you know, that's hip hop to me.
What gave you the business mind, right? Over the BET Awards, of course, they play Straight Outta Compton, the big three. I seen the big three as well that weekend. But, you know, and all those things, it seems like you knew what you wanted from the door, right? Going back to Straight Outta Compton, they talking about everybody's so happy to just get paid and so happy to be on tour. But it was clear that you were always about, where's my money? Where's my contract? How come I'm not this? What gave you that business mind early on, when especially even artists today are still not on it with all the knowledge that we know and everything that we see? You can Google so many things. What gave you that business mind so early on?
Watching, you know, people I know and like, you know, have to kind of beg for their money, you know, like... And I ain't gonna say no names, but I've seen people that really, you know, can I get paid, you know, and it was just, I saw that at, you know, 14, 15 years old, hanging around the industry, just had my antennas up. And, you know, when it was time for me to do records, you know, I was in a stage where I was happy. You know what I mean? I'm ready to go. You know, I'm finally get to live my dream and do music on and put it on wax and put it out and see if I'm good enough, you know? And so I had a publicist who later became my manager, lady by the name of Pat Charbonnet. And if you see the Friday movie, she helped me produce that movie, Friday. You'll see her name on it. But she was the publicist for NWA. And I would show up to the interviews early. You know what I mean? I'm like, you know, if you can't be on time, be early. So I would show up to all the interviews early. Sometimes them dudes wouldn't even show up, like easy on his way, Dre on his way, but they never showed up. So I'd be the only one there. So we got to chop it up. And she was basically like, "Do you know who Jerry Heller is?" And I'm like, "No, who is that?" "Well, you need to look him up, because you just got to watch him. How's your paperwork?" You know, she started just, "Have you signed a contract with them yet?" And I'm like, "Nah, you know, I ain't signed nothing." And she was like, "You need to make sure you get an attorney before you sign anything with them." And so I wanted to put her in the movie, but it just wasn't enough real estate. You know, people just don't know how hard it is to actually... 10 years into 2 hours. But at the end of the day, she hooked me up with a lawyer by the name of Michael Ashburn. And we strategized, you know, how we were gonna see if we were being treated fair by Ruthless. And so, you know, from seeing that, I knew this was show business. So the music and the production is one thing, but it's really all about the business. That determines if you're gonna be happy with the outcome.
People talk about how instrumental your wife is too in your business.
Yeah.
What's her role?
Everything. You know what I mean? Her role is just being a confidant, a muse. You know, she's everything to me. She helped me navigate. She helped me with knowledge and wisdom. You know, she's just a fantastic person. You know, she's very ahead of the curve when it comes to her thinking. So me and her, you know, we go together like macaroni and cheese, you know.
You run everything by her, like any.
Not everything, okay, but okay. You know, when it's time to really, she the one who helped me leave NWA. You know what I mean? Because I didn't really have nobody to talk to about it. She was just my girlfriend then, and I was, you know, everybody telling me stay in the group. Like, you crazy? You about to leave? What the hell? And she was the only one saying, "You good, everybody like you anyway." You know what I mean? Like, everybody like your records anyway. So that was nice to hear at a time when my whole hip hop world kinda faded to black. And I was kinda sitting there figuring out what I'm gonna do.
And you know, I wanna go back to what you were talking about with the record labels, right? Cause you said it's they make songs by committee.
Yes.
But I always think to myself, well, couldn't the artist change that if they just simply stop making the rap that has the criminal intent? But you saying that they're being pushed to make these kind of records?
Yeah.
Man.
A long time ago. It's been happening forever. Mm-hmm. Some of the songs that you love, some of the MCs you love, you know, it was done by committee. It wasn't, you know, a man with a pen and a mic. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's me. I'm a man with a pen and a mic.
So meaning was NWA ever, you think they was ever part of the big corporate agenda to push negative content?
Yeah, they were. But not a willing, knowing participant. Mm-hmm. We thought our music was going to be underground. We didn't make our music big. Mm-hmm. You know, we did not make our music blow up. Damn. We just did it. And we thought it was going to be underground, dirty street records. Mm-hmm. We thought our records was going to be sold with the Richard Pryor comedy albums and Red Fox and the, mm-hmm. you know, dirty Dolomite records mm-hmm. and shit. That's what we thought. So, you know, we didn't have a clue that it was going to blow up until it blew up. You know, I think, you know, one was MTV banning Straight Outta Compton video. Mm-hmm. Another was the letter from the FBI. Those are two things that started to just blow the group up. Mm-hmm. But we didn't blow ourselves up. You know, everybody blame us, but we didn't do it. You know, we was doing music. We actually had stopped worrying about the industry as much. We was basically doing music that people in our neighborhood were like. So we were like, yo, let's just do the shit we know. I keep cussing. I don't know if I'm lying. But let's just keep doing what we've been doing. Or no, let's just do what we know is going to work around here so we can be at least neighborhood stars. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We can at least, you know, get love in the hood. So that was our purpose. And it blew up.
And it felt like it was like, purposely driven from the West Coast. It feel like on the East Coast you had, you know, the Chuck D's and the KRS-One's and those brothers were talking about knowledge yourself and Islam, more positive thing. But it feel like with the West Coast, they really said, we're going to give you bitches, 40s and blunts and violence.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was, y'all had Coogee Rap and,
Coogee,
you know what I mean, Schoolie D.
But the West Coast blew up, though.
Yeah, the West Coast, it was a whole different, just a whole different vibe because we were talking about, you know, the gangbang mentality, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, really. And just kind of making sense of what we was seeing and going through and living through and hearing about. And, you know, we was just making music out of it instead of, you know, hearing all these tragic stories and not having a creative outlet to express ourselves about them, you know. I did dope, man, because I was sick of dudes selling dope, and the neighborhood was just toe up, you mm-hmm. know what I mean, because of people we loved and knew was strung out, and that was whack to me.
I was going to ask, you know, even since the writer's strike, how's that affected your business?
Not at all. Mm-hmm. Like, what writer's strike? I mean, I know the writers in the movie industry are on strike, but I'm not writing no movies right now, so it's not affecting me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I want them to get what they think they need. I think it's a situation where they're really worried about AI and the
studios.
That
was my next question. What's your thoughts on AI?
I think it's whack. I think it's the worst shit ever. I think it's going to put a lot of people out of business and out of work, and everything is going to be more vanilla. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not going to be more creative. It's actually going to go the other way. And people are going to get lazier.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. Nobody's going to work hard, and nobody's going to attain the knowledge so they can write it down. They're just going to ask for the knowledge. Yep. And you know, people are just going to get stupider.
Yeah, I don't see how the writers win this one. I'm part of the Writers Guild. I don't see how they win this one, though, because I can see them easily shrinking writers' rooms from 9 to 10 people to 2 people in AI.
Yeah, and, like, it's a hard one because, you know, the studios, I mean, the writers are basically saying, hey, we don't want the studios to use it. We want to go home and use it and charge y'all up for the script. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it's, look, it's, you know, when they invented the light bulb, the candle maker had to figure out how to make money. So he started making candles that smell like all kind of stuff to make money. So adapt. You got to adapt or die. You know, that's just it. And a lot of people are comfortable with their careers, and it's hard for them to make that transition to something different.
I wanted to ask you too. You know, when you started getting involved in politics the way you did during the last election, and just being willing to engage with Republicans, you know, did that cost you in Hollywood?
I don't know. I don't measure that stuff. You know what I mean? I just know. You know, when you're black, things might not go right. You know what I'm saying? That's all I know. When you're black, things might be set up perfect, but it still might not go right. So be ready for that.
And I saw you say that being blackballed helped NWA sell records. And it made me think to myself, how could you blackball Ice Cube in 2023? Like, you an icon. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what could they do to Ice Cube?
Man, I don't know. You know, I don't really think about, I don't think about it like that. I just think about, it's hard to get anybody that's in your heart out of there. You know what I'm saying? So if people got me in their hearts, you ain't gonna be able to cancel me. It's gonna be hard to get me out of there. If I'm not in your heart, it's probably gonna be easier to cancel me. So it's really not on me. You know, I don't know.
Is there an Illuminati, Ice Cube? You've been around a long time.
Probably so.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know none of them. None of them tell me, hey, I'm Illuminati. You know what I'm saying? I don't participate in none of that. So I don't know about it. You know, I seem like it's there, but who knows?
So how do you beat the gatekeepers then? Because I feel like we're in an era where there's no gates. I feel like everybody could just do their own thing. So how do you beat the gatekeepers that still exist?
I think you persist. You don't let them stop you. You know, they there. Now, everybody that's in front of the gate ain't always paying attention. You know, I've ducked security and hit the fence before and got in. So I'll do it again. It's like I'm not used to going through the front door anyway. So if the front door is locked, then we'll get in.
Yeah, because it feels like gatekeeping is such a played out thing for even them to be doing. Because it's like, like you said, there's so many different ways to get past these gates nowadays.
Well, it's to keep a construct. It's to keep things working the way they are, to keep certain people relegated to the bottom of the pyramid. That's why the gatekeepers are there.
Now, Tony Allen, you just signed Tony Allen with the Big Three.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Oh, it's great. You know, the grindfather. You know what I mean? We're going back to Memphis. I'm pretty sure people are going to be happy to see him. We also going to Boston, too, so people are going to be happy to see him. We're going to be in Miami and Detroit and Charlotte. DC. So we happy to attract. We want more. You know, we hoping to get you know, Lemon Pepper Lou up in here too. Lou Williams. And you know, hopefully we get him. We want, you know, Isaiah Thomas and Dwight Howard and the people, you know, playing the game you love.
That'd be dope. Now, you know, last time you always say, you always, you know, talk about the conversation you had with Kobe, and you felt that you could have had an opportunity to get Kobe. Is there anybody else that you feel like you in talks to, that you talking to, that might be a possibility that?
You know, I don't want to say names because once I do that, sometimes it jinx it. You know,
right.
I thought Paul Pierce was coming. He told me he was coming. He didn't come. So
why didn't he come? There was a reason, or
he never told me why. He never told me why. So Some dudes, they just done. You know, they like, I'm retired, man. I done gave my body to basketball, and I don't want to play no more. Mm-hmm. So we don't want you in the big three if you like that anyway. Mm-hmm. We want guys still with a chip on their shoulders, still right. want to go at it, still want to show the world what they got.
What was your relationship like with Kobe?
It was cool, you know, but it was friendly, but it was still from afar. You know, I admired him as a basketball player. You know, he's much younger than me. So sometimes I don't want to spoil that by, you know, getting in people's face more than I would as a fan. You know, I like to be a fan because it's not too many things I'm fans of, so I cherish that. Like, I like to, when I go to the games, I like to actually watch the game. I don't care if anybody put a camera on me. All them championships, I'm there, but I'm not on the floor. I'm in my suite. So that's how I like it.
I know, you know, you've seen a lot of legends, you know, transition, right? Just being in hip-hop, a lot of hip-hop legends. When Kobe passed, how did that feel different than those?
It felt darker because it was just so, like, I mean, unbelievable is an overrated word, mm-hmm. but, you know, it was something that you never even imagined. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you don't imagine, you know, dudes younger than you that are, you know, in the NBA, a superstar like that, dying. Like, we haven't had that. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Who, you know, what athlete that I wasn't here when, like, Roberto Clemente. Roberto. I mean, yeah, I wasn't really. I was here, but I wasn't focused on baseball. I was a youngster. I can, you know, maybe that to people, you know, he was a superstar baseball player, but
not Kobe level. I give you
not yeah, saying, not man. Kobe level. Like, that's never happened to us. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of the unthinkable. Mm-hmm. So that's what made it even darker to me, more tragic.
Well,
and he had his daughter with him.
That
made it even worse.
With a 6 season of Big Three, Melo.
Yeah, I would love to get Melo.
Melo still balls. Last year, he would average like 12 points for Lakers. Before that, he was 20 points.
Man, he would kill the league.
He still practices every day. He still trains.
Melo, come holler at us, man. You'll have fun. You know, I got these dudes. We was in Brooklyn last night, man, you know, to see Michael Beasley hanging with Dr. J and see, you know, Clyde the Glide over there talking to Mario Chalmers and Joe Johnson. Mm-hmm. It's like basketball heaven, man. It's basketball heaven in the Big Three. And we're going from town to town like an all-star game, coming in and having fun and making the city better than it was before we got there. You know, we doing cool community stuff with the young three. So it's a dream come true for me.
Mm-hmm. I got a couple more questions. Ron Reiser, he's always with you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And since when he walked there, everybody, oh, that's Stanley from Friday. Like, what role does he play in your circle?
Well, we're actually cousins.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. My father and his mother grew up in Chatham, Louisiana together. And so, you know, he's been around and he's like been a right hand and left hand man. You know, he handles his business. He's very thorough. Mm-hmm. And he's very business minded. So he's my role manager. So he also makes sure everything is right when I hit the road. And a very good friend. You know, he's my cousin, but I don't like all my cousins.
Yeah,
so you know, he's closer than a cousin, to be honest, like a brother. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And last question, you know, Mount Westmore, y'all out here cooking with that. But I saw a pic the other day, you and Dub C.
Yeah.
Is there ever a chance we could get a West Side Connection reunion with you, Dub, and Mac 10?
Probably not. Damn. Probably not.
Why?
I don't want to do another West Side Connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw Mac 10 on Vlad TV, and you know, I always wonder what happened with that relationship.
When you get him on, his side, but. Of course he do. Of course he do. I don't want to talk about it, to be honest, because he know what it is. That's all that need to matter to me. Right. He know what it is.
All right. Well, there you have it. Ice Cube, ladies and gentlemen. Legend. The sixth season of Big 3. Make sure you go out and support.
I got to get the Don Mega hoodie, man. I hope you're selling those.
Yeah, you know, we're gonna hit the drop the collection. Mm-hmm. Very soon we'll start publicizing it, but I'll send you some gear for sure.
Word.
I just need your sizes, yours too.
Absolutely. And thanks for the invite. They invited me to they invite you because you can't play basketball, but they invited me to do the 4-point contest. But I was stuck in Charlotte last night. I got back at 10 o'clock. But appreciate you.
That's your excuse.
Anytime.
Nah, I got back last night. They didn't invite you. You too short. You probably can't even reach the rim from the 4-point shot.
I can shoot.
No, you cannot.
Anybody can shoot.
Bro. Next city, me and Charlamagne.
Anytime, man.
Charlamagne, we'll do the 4-point shot.
Let me know which one y'all want to come to.
We'll put some money on it, and we'll get the money to charity.
Let's do
That'll
it.
Be nice.
All right.
That'll be
there
sweet.
There you have it. It's Ice Cube. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com, that's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.